The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Here in Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Bob Heck here with you here on a Tuesday morning. And before we sort of jump into the program, let's take a look at the weather forecast for today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs around 40. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. Cold. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 40%. Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of rain. Highs in the mid-40s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And we are at 28 here in Pittsfield. Again, expected to get up close to 40 today. So it's always weird how, you know, 40 degrees here in January feels a lot different than 40 degrees in September. You know, in January, 40 degrees is awesome. You know, you get the shorts on, it's all good. But 40 degrees in September, October is like death. So, you know, so it'll feel a little pleasant out there today, much more pleasant than if it was 40 degrees in the fall. So again, Bob Heck here with you on Morning Drive, and I'm really excited for this opportunity. First off, I want to congratulate Bill Sturgeon on his retirement from the show. You know, he'll be popping in from time to time. Just tremendous work from him. And, you know, I'm a little afraid. I've never been afraid of my broadcasting career, but I'm a little afraid of trying to fill his shoes because he did such a phenomenal job here on Morning Drive for many, many years. And I'm excited to step in because, you know, I'll have an opportunity to talk to people I want to talk to. For those of you who don't know me, I did Morning Drive in commercial radio for about 10 years. And I would say that the biggest reason I was called into, you know, the suits office is because of some of the guests I've had on my show. Mainly, this one's not a client and that one is. Or this one owes us money. Why are you having them on the show? I'm like, I'm not privy to these things. I don't know who owes money. I'm just trying to do a radio show, folks. You know, it's trying to get some stuff done. And then, so I said, no, all right, I'm not having guests anymore, forget it. And then, you know, they started putting guests on my show that paid to be on my show. And I don't begrudge anybody for that, you know, it's just the way it is nowadays. So I'm excited for this part of the show because I get to talk to whoever I want. And, you know, I'm always looking for interesting people to talk to. You can reach out to me on Facebook if you think you'd be a good guest for the show. And we'd be excited to have you if you're interesting enough. But, you know, let's go to the bad side of this thing. Today's show has been a comedy of errors setting this thing up. First, it was supposed to be my daughter, Ashley. And we are on the quest to hit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums before she gets married or before I die, whichever comes first. And, you know, at this point in the proceedings, who knows which of those things are going to come first. But she was supposed to be the guest today. Then she told me, you know, I have my midterms today. Or she told me Saturday night. We went to the Thunderbirds game on Saturday night. And she said, well, I have my midterms on Tuesday, but I can miss it. I can get there late and miss part of the midterms. And I'm like, no, you can't. You dummy. You got to go. And then I found another guest for today. And she said, no, my midterms are on the 27th. She's like, well, I found a guest for today. So we're going to move you to the 20th. And then she told me last night, oh, the midterms are on the 20th. So I don't know. I don't know. She'll be on at some point to talk about our quest to go to 30 major league stadiums. Might be closer to spring training because who knows when her midterms actually are. So I reached out to my good friend, pulled out of the bullpen, Bill Farrell, and we must have had a miscommunication of some sort because Bill Farrell has not arrived yet. I wonder if he's at the radio station across town, but he should know I'm here. So I don't know. I figured I'd have the training wheels. My former broadcast partner, Bill Farrell, was supposed to join us. I don't know what the miscommunication was. I reached out to him on Sunday. And, you know, we're trying to figure this whole thing out. And this is kind of a disaster so far. Disaster. So we're, yeah. It's all good. It's all good. We'll figure it out. I'm going to try and reach out to Bill again. We will take a short time out here on Morning Drive and try and figure out what is going on. And we'll be back in just a little bit here on 89.7 WTBR FM. And well, in the meantime, I'll try and figure out what I'm going to fill the next 54 minutes with.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
WTBR. Keep on, keep on.
Welcome back to Morning Drive, 7:37, 23 before 8 o'clock here on Tuesday, January 13th, I believe. I should probably have looked that up before I gave you potentially fraudulent information. I don't have a guest. I don't know what happened. I thought I had a guest. I thought I had two different guests, and it all went to crap. So I've got 53 minutes to fill. Let's talk about football then. Why don't we get into a subject that I actually know a lot about? We'll get into sports. And that game last night between the Steelers and Houston, I went to bed when it was 17-6, and I woke up this morning, it was 30-6. And I got to be honest with you, I'm terrified of the Houston Texans when they come into Foxborough this week. I'm absolutely terrified of it. They've been a solid team. That defense is no joke at all. That defense is absolutely no joke. And, you know, the Patriots, they haven't seen a team like this all year. And, well, I got to do TV as well so I can click myself back over here. So if you're watching on TV, now you get to see my dumb face. Anyway, you know, and that defense was absolutely astounding again last night. Two turnovers returned for touchdowns. And I got to be honest, I'm a bit terrified of the Houston Texans. I'm not as terrified as their offense. C.J. Stroud has had some nice moments this year, but he's not the same C.J. Stroud that we saw a few years back. So I'm sort of interested to see what happens. I mean, they obviously rely on the defense to put the offense in good positions, and that worked out terrifically last night and throughout, you know, most of the second half of the season. I mean, they didn't have a great first half of the season, but they turned it around to get to 12-5. And they'll be coming into Foxborough this week. And the Patriots, man, that defense looked great. But it also happened to help happen to work out for them because San Diego, we're going to call them San Diego. I don't care. It's going to take me forever before I call them Los Angeles. The Chargers, their offensive line's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Justin Herbert had no time to even consider throwing the football. The Patriots get 6 sacks in that game. Because that offensive line's like a turnstile, and the Patriots go on to win. But the offense, for the most part, wasn't super impressive. They didn't put up a ton of points. A couple of turnovers from Drake May, which is to be expected. It was his first playoff game. So that was a little concerning. And again, Houston's defense is just absolutely ruthless. But I got to tell you, how cool would it be for the AFC Championship game to be the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots? Because, you know, the Bills had their time. They were winning the division over and over and over again. And boy, did they not expect the Patriots. Nobody really expected the Patriots to win the AFC East again this year and, you know, just come back, just turn it around so quick. And it's amazing that the Patriots have their dynasty. Brady leaves. They bottom out. And they came back again before the Jets could even do anything. I mean, the Jets are a complete disappointment. And one of my favorite stats out there is that since, I forget the year, but since a certain time frame, the amount of people who, the teams who have won the AFC East, the Indianapolis Colts have more AFC East titles than the New York Jets. And they haven't been even in the division in 20 years. So, yeah, that's how bad the New York Jets have been. I mean, I don't know how you Jets fans do it. It's just disappointment after disappointment. They made some good trades this year, the Jets, though. Sauce Gardner, who I think might be one of the most overrated players in the NFL. They keep talking about him being a lockdown corner. Never really happened. And they ship him off to Indianapolis for a first round pick, and then they shipped off another defender to Dallas for another first round pick. So now they're looking at a ton of first round picks over the next couple of years, but they've done this before and they screwed it up every time. And speaking of screwing things up, the Giants, I like their quarterback, even though he might be walking CTE. Like, he may already have super CTE already, Jackson Dart. That dude would run into a brick wall without a helmet on, and he probably has several times already. And Cam Scataboo, also a terrific addition to the backfield, but he's another walking CTE case, and he's already been hurt. I mean, I do like those weapons, but they were looking at the first round draft pick or the number one draft pick with a bullet. And then they won their last two games, and the New York Jets would have paid a king's ransom for that number one pick to get Mendoza. Now Mendoza is going to end up in Vegas, and you know, this might be a at best three quarterback draft, and the Jets aren't going to get one again. And, you know, the Justin Fields experiment failed, which everybody outside the New York Jets organization knew was going to happen. So where do they go from here? So, I mean, it looks like it's going to be the Patriots and the Bills at the top of the AFC East all over again. Because Miami, who knows what they're doing? They fired Mike McDaniel. And that's a tough one right there. Because he got some production out of that team, and that's kind of a lousy roster. I've never been a big fan of Tua. I never thought he had franchise quarterback potential. So I just think they did what they could with that offense. Jalen Waddle emerged as a wide receiver one after Tyreek Hill went down. Devon Achane has been terrific out of the backfield for them. They got some weapons, But when you got Tua at quarterback, you just can't utilize those weapons well. Their backup quarterback came in, played the last few games of the day, a few games of the year. He was okay. I don't think I'd run him out for next year. I think you got to have at the very least a competition, but their draft pick's not going to be very good either. So they're looking at either rolling with Tua again, and it didn't look like Tua was going to come back if McDaniel was still there, because Tua said, yeah, I'd love a fresh start. Oh boy, wouldn't you? Now you're getting your fresh start because you're going to have a new coach in there, new general manager. I mean, the AFC East outside the Patriots and the Bills are a complete mess. And, you know, if the Bills don't win this week, who knows what happens with McDermott? Who knows if they keep McDermott for another year? You got John Harbaugh out there, which really messed up the coaching search this year. Because now you're like, oh, Harbaugh's a great coach. And we've got this borderline dummy as our coach. So maybe we could jettison him and bring in Harbaugh. So just so much to happen potentially down the line. And who knows what happens with Tomlin after losing his 4,000th straight playoff game last night. And I thought it was fun. I mean, Pittsburgh, Titletown, the Steelers were always in the mix. That was their first playoff game at home last night in front of a crowd since 2017. Yeah, they had a home game in the 2020 playoffs where there were no people allowed, or 2021. It was early 2021. There were no fans allowed in the stands. So, yeah, it's the Steelers have gone a long way. And I think, quite honestly, I think that Steelers team was garbage this year. Absolute, complete garbage. You're relying on 400-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I think getting that team to the playoffs for Mike Tomlin was a borderline miracle. And everybody in Pittsburgh hates the guy. They absolutely hate the guy. They want him fired. They've got the pitchforks ready for him today. I think Tomlin could use a change of pace, a fresh start, so to speak. The Steelers could use a fresh start, so to speak. So we'll see what happens. It'd be interesting to see in the next 12 hours if Mike Tomlin is still the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, you know, the Bills, they're going to play another playoff game this weekend. They are playing, why am I blanking on who the Bills are playing? Denver, of course, the number one seed, Denver. Denver's defense has been pretty good too. Josh Allen, I mean, he could be feast or famine when he goes up against good defense. He can either light him up or crap his pants, you know. And we've seen both throughout the season. I mean, we've seen some terrible Allen performances throughout the year against solid defenses. So who knows? And that's what it's going to come down to. Can Josh Allen cope with Denver's defense? That's what it's going to come down to. That is the secret sauce of this game. And if Josh Allen can put some numbers up against that Denver defense, I don't trust Bo Nix. I don't trust Bo Nix to come and, you know, bring the offense back into that game if Josh Allen puts the hurt on him. I just don't trust that offense enough. And it's been largely the defense this year for Denver. And Bo Nix has done enough to get the offense to a position where they can win those games with those defense. With that defense, and, you know, I'm not quite sure what they're going to be able to do. I'm just not quite sure if the offense is going to be able to carry if Josh Allen goes off and plays the way he can play against that Denver defense. But it is in Denver. So who knows? We're guaranteed not to see another game at Highmark Stadium. They're going to tear that bad boy down and open up a new stadium next year. And I'm glad the Bills didn't go for a dome, because that would suck. I mean, the joy of Buffalo is the 20 inches of snow on game day, and you just invite people from the community to come in and shovel and get all that done. You pay them $20 an hour, give them some hot chocolate, send them on their way. It's always a blast to see that. So Bills in Denver, I mean, I like the Bills. I like the Bills. Pats in Houston, I wish I could say I like the Pats. I just don't. I think Houston's, first off, grossly underrated a little bit. And that defense is just a terror. Looking on the other side, Seattle takes on San Francisco. San Francisco can only go so far with duct tape and Bondo, which is how they're keeping that team together. I mean, just so many injuries throughout the year. George Kittle tears his Achilles. He's gone for a while. One of the funniest things I've ever seen, and it's not funny because the guy got hurt, but there was a report that once Kittle got brought into the locker room, he requested a bottle of tequila, and the owner sent down a bottle of tequila for him, and that bottle of tequila did not make it to the end of the game. It didn't make it to the end of the game. He's just down in tequila as he's getting his Achilles injury worked on. I mean, that's a tough break for San Francisco, who's already had tough breaks. And I can't believe I'm saying this. And I never thought I'd see a day I'd say this, that, you know, Sam Darnold is the favorite to be the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. Sam Darnold. Yeah, that's Sam Darnold. He's had an outstanding season, and I don't know where it came from. It seemed like Minnesota last year, you know, Kevin O'Connell, the coach there, just has this tendency to unlock QBs. Didn't work out with J.J. McCarthy this year so far at all. So we'll see how another year of training camp with Kevin O'Connell can help J.J. McCarthy. I thought J.J. McCarthy was trash when he got drafted. He was okay at Michigan. And I'm like, I think he's going to be kind of trash. And so far, he's been kind of trash. Sam Darnold, not trash. A guy that was trash for many years with the Jets. Had that great start. Got off to a 4-0 start with Carolina after he was let go from the Giants or the Jets. And he was trash. He had that 4-game stint, and then it was back to trash Darnold. But then he gets to Minnesota, and he's a Pro Bowler. Had an excellent year with Seattle. I just don't know what's going on. And Seattle, we didn't know if they were going to have the horses this year, particularly at wide receiver after they got rid of DK Metcalf. And they've been terrific. Jackson Smith and Jigba has been outstanding, might be one of the best wide receivers in football. He's had an outstanding season, and they just find a way to get it done. Zach Charbonnet has been great. That offense just finds a way to get things done, and they just continue on. You know, people are sending me messages and stuff like that, and it's, I'm just so ADD, I got to look right at the message right away and lose my train of thought. Absolutely lose my train of thought. But that's okay. That's okay. This is what we're doing today. So I think Seattle's big over San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco just a terrific effort against Philly. And I'm so glad Philly's out. The Eagles, get out of here. Goodbye. It'll be nice to have a Super Bowl with teams that haven't been in the Super Bowl the past few years. So that'll be nice. I think Jalen Hurts is terribly overrated, and we saw that during the game on Sunday. So, yeah. San Francisco, I just don't see them getting past Seattle. And that defense has been really good all year as well. I just don't think it's going to happen. The Rams and Bears. That's going to be an interesting game because I don't know what to make of the Chicago Bears. I got to tell you, the Pope must have made one hell of a prayer at halftime in that game against Green Bay because the Chicago Bears were completely terrible in the first half, just absolutely horrible. And then in the second half, McManus couldn't hit a field goal if his life depended on it. There had to have been some divine intervention there from the Chicago Pope. Had to be. And they come back, one of the biggest comebacks in all time against Green Bay. Certainly the biggest playoff comeback in Bears history. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. I was at the Thunderbirds game Sunday. I came back and looked at my phone. I'm like, 21-3. This is going to be terrible. But there's nothing else on, so I'll fire it up there after running through. And this is what's getting tough about watching sports in general now, because you come home and you're not aware of where the games are because they're all over the place. And I go to my cable app, and I'm like, is it on ABC? Nope. Is it on NBC? Nope. Is it on ESPN? Nope. Well, where is this game? Oh, it's on Amazon. It's on Amazon. So I had to go through and find Amazon and go through all that to get there. I just remember when, you could just put the game on. And it was there. And you could figure it out really easy. Now, is it on Peacock? Is it on Paramount? Is it on Amazon? Is it on regular TV? Where was this game? And I have all the things. I have all the things, so it's not like I'm not going to see the game because I literally have all of the things, except for Apple TV. That's where I drew the line. I drew the line at Apple TV. So when the Red Sox play on Apple TV, I just put on the MLB beginning and watch the game there. I mean, I pay for the MLB package, and I can't watch the Red Sox game on a Friday night if it's on Apple TV. I don't even know if they're doing the Apple TV thing again this year. I have no idea. I know there's a bunch of games on NBC and Paramount, and I don't know. It'd be weird seeing baseball on NBC because it's been a long time since that happened. It'd be weird not seeing baseball on ESPN. Netflix has some games for some odd reason. They got the Home Run Derby for some odd reason. I don't know. There's just so many places to find, and I have all the things. You got to just figure out which thing it's on, make sure, you can log into it, because if you don't watch something for so long, you got to re-log back into it, and I don't know what the password is. It's been 7 months since I used the app. I don't know what the password is. So you put the password in, and it says, no, this password doesn't work. And then you put a different password in. No, it doesn't work. And then you put another password in that you're almost positive that it is. No, it doesn't work. Why don't you reset your password? So you reset your password, and then you type in the one that you were almost positive that it was. And it says, well, we can't use a password that you just used. So what do you mean I just used it? You just told me I couldn't use this password because it didn't work. It wasn't the password. Now it is the password. I don't know what's going on. All right, we're at 7:57 right now. I was hesitant to get into the Red Sox and baseball and Alex Bregman because this is FCC regulated radio, and there's a high probability that I might start dropping some words I can't say on the radio when talking about how the Red Sox absolutely mismanaged and screwed up Alex Bregman. And I'm so irritated by it. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit, as well as another look at the weather. You're listening to Morning Drive with Bob Heck. My guest didn't show up, so I'm just sort of babbling about sports, and I hope I'm doing a good job. If you're not into sports and you're into politics, you came to the wrong place today, let me tell you. We'll be back here on Morning Drive here on WTBR. Okay, once I can get this thing to work. Do I just hit that? That doesn't work. Oh, play button works.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.com. Mass.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sondrini.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Hello, we are the George B. Crane Memorial Center. We provide a clean, comfortable, and safe place for those seeking support for addictions. Our facility offers 12-step peer support recovery groups and opportunities for those in recovery. We are located at 81 Linden Street in Pittsfield. Our schedule and contact information are on our website, thegbcmc.org. We are here to help you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
This Halloween, get ready for a night of ghoulish delights, hair-raising hits. Tune in to the WTBR Halloween Spooktacular with Peter and Jessica. We're serving up 2 hours of spooky soundtracks, creepy classics, and haunted harmonies that will have you screaming for more. It all goes down Halloween night, 4 to 6 p.m., right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Don't be a scary cat. We'll be waiting.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive. Oh, I'm supposed to wait for the horn. I'm supposed to wait for the horn. Yeah, this has been awesome today. I'm doing such a great job. We're going to pivot over to the weather real quick, see what we're looking at today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs around 40. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. Cold. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of snow 40%. Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of rain. Highs in the mid-40s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
We are at 28 degrees in Pittsfield right now, but we are looking to get up to 39 today. So that's pretty exciting to not have to be completely freezing. They said December was the coldest month. This past December was the coldest December it's been in a long time. I didn't vibe with that. I didn't feel that. I thought it was pretty mild. You know, we had a couple of days where, you know, you walked outside and the air just punched you right in the face. But it was only a couple of days. I thought for the most part it was on the milder side, but apparently it was one of the colder Decembers we've had in quite a while. I couldn't believe that information when I saw it. All right, let's kind of reset where we are here. I'm Bob Heck. I'm going to be doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays here on Morning Drive, and we're going to have great guests if they show up. That would be helpful. It was supposed to be my daughter Ashley today, who we're going to all 30 baseball stadiums. That's our grand plan. We're at 5 so far. We're going to hit 4 more this year to get up to 9. And we're going to talk with her at some point. But we went to the Thunderbirds game Saturday night, and we're sitting there waiting for the game to start. And she says, Yeah, I just found out. I just found out. Yes, of course. I just found out. It's what every kid uses, even though they've known for months. I just found out that my ELA midterm is on Tuesday. But for those of you uninitiated, those of you that are my age or older, ELA is what they call English now. Back when we were going to school, it was just English class. Now it's ELA. So there you have it, just so you sort of know what an ELA is if you weren't privy to such information. And she's like, yeah, but I can go late and miss the first part of it. I'm like, no, you can't. No, you can't. I'm not going to have you. She's a good student. I mean, she gets straight A's across the board. So it wouldn't be the end of the world. But no, we're not doing that. So I had another guest lined up. We must have had a miscommunication or somewhere along the lines, or maybe he was up a little too late watching the football game, which, you know, I went to bed at 17-6 because I kind of had a feeling that Pittsburgh wasn't going to win a playoff game because Pittsburgh isn't really good at winning playoff games, particularly with 400-year-old Aaron Rodgers down 11 points. I felt pretty good in my assessment that I can go to bed and be done with it. So yeah, that's where we are right now, and that's why we don't have a guest in the studio this morning. And well, forgot to put my dumb face back on here. I hope Bill's not tuned in this morning. Bill did such a great job doing this show for years, and he's like, two of my days are going to this guy. Can't even get his guest to come. He's just vamping here on the morning show. So yeah, and we went into sports because as my wife will tell you, it is one of the most knowledgeable things I have. So let's flip over to baseball. I know it's really early to talk about baseball, but I got home from the Thunderbirds game last night. I flipped on the Amazon after 20 minutes of trying to find the stupid football game. I'm geared up for Chicago and and Green Bay, and my Twitter starts going crazy because Alex Bregman signs with the Chicago Cubs. And that really upset me for a couple of reasons. One, all I had heard going into the weekend was that the Red Sox have him unless they blow it. And they blew it. And the other thing that made me really mad was there had to have been some sort of backdoor agreement, some sort of agreement of some kind between the Red Sox and Bregman where, I mean, here's what I think happened. Because Fenway Fest was on Saturday as well. And Fenway Fest has always been a weird spot for management. They used to have it at MGM, and it was always a two-day event. The first day, there'd be like a press conference with John Henry and the general manager and things like that. So a couple of years back, they had the Frozen, they had the Winter Classic at Fenway Park with the Bruins playing. And they showed John Henry, and everybody booed the bejesus out of him. Because he hadn't made a free agent move. They hadn't done anything. They don't spend any money. The team was garbage. So a week later, between the Winter Classic and what was Winter Weekend for the Red Sox, John Henry signs Rafael Devers to that massive extension because he doesn't want to take the crap at Fenway Fest. Do you know how well that worked? Not well at all, because the entire front office was summarily booed off the stage at Winter Weekend at MGM. So this was 3 years ago. Then the year after that, they sort of eliminated the Winter Weekend part, and it was just a one-day fan festival without the front office. You just got to meet the players and everything. At MGM, which was a cool experience. I'm not going to lie, it was a lot of fun. So we turn our sights back to Saturday. That was Fenway Fest, because they removed it from MGM altogether, probably because, you know, you don't want a fan accidentally walking into Craig Breslow in the middle of MGM because Boston fans, if you don't know, are a little ruthless. And they'll tell you where to go and how to get there without any problem. They don't care who you are if you're screwing up their Red Sox. So Fenway Fest happens, and I didn't go this year. I've gone the last 3 years. I didn't go this year. And, you know, it happens. And I was even thinking, you know, it's weird that Bregman hasn't been at FanFest last year or this year. He signed so late both times. But once we sign him to that extension, he'll probably be at Fenway Fest for the next 5 years. No word at Fenway Fest. Pretty much once the last person left Fenway from Fenway Fest, that's when they make the announcement that Bregman signed with the Cubs. I don't know if, like, Bregman said, or Scott Boras called and said, yeah, Bregman's going to sign with the Cubs. And Craig Breslow's like, for the love of God, man, can you please wait until after Fenway Fest to announce the signing? Because they're going to murder me, and it's not going to be good. Can we wait until afterwards? Or what more likely happened was Boras called Breslow and said, listen, the Cubs are on the board for $5,175. You want to match it? And Breslow said, let me get back to you. I'll have an answer for you by the end of the day. And as soon as that last person left Fenway Fest, he picked up the phone to Boras and said, yeah, we're not matching. Go sign with the Cubs. Have a great time. Just because of the timing of it was so weird. Like, right after Fenway Fest. And they would have had a riot on their hands at Fenway Park, let me tell you, if everybody... Because they brought in Bregman and made Devers mad by bringing in Bregman, who... I mean, Devers not a great third baseman. Bregman much more defensively sound at third base. Devers has always been a problem at third base defensively, but he can hit the ball. He can hit the ball. So they move him to DH, and he's already mad because Bregman's in. And, I mean, he was apparently the only person that didn't know that they were going to eventually sign Bregman to play third base. But then he was aggravated, got moved to DH. Then Tristan Casas went down. They wanted him to go to first base. We all remember how that went. The answer, not too good. So we end up trading Devers, and we have all this extra money now. I mean, it was $300 million that they invested in Devers that San Francisco basically took all of. They took on all of the contract. So the Red Sox should have all this money to spend, right? They haven't spent a dime. And Sam Kennedy, that lying weasel, I mean, if you want to know how, if you want to know President, Red Sox President Sam Kennedy, if you want to know how, if he's lying, just watch his lips. If they're moving, he's full of crap. He's just a weasel. I don't like the guy. I don't like the look on his face. He just looks like one of those guys that are going to lie to your face constantly. And that is exactly what he does. So people are like, well, you haven't signed any free agents. So the Red Sox are literally the only team in baseball at this point here on January 13th to have not signed a free agent. Everybody else has signed a free agent. The Red Sox have not. And Sam Kennedy's like, oh, we made some trades and took some money on that way. Gee, great. We're worse off than we were last year. So it's, and now all the reports are coming in. Oh, they're in on Bo Bichette. They're in on Bo Bichette. They're interest in Bo Bichette. They're not going to sign Bo Bichette. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to sign Bo Bichette. And then afterwards, the lapdog media. So they're like, well, they were close. They were in until the end. They had great interest. The Red Sox, the interest kings, they had great interest in Bo Bichette. And they just couldn't make it happen. They made an aggressive offer, and which we'll find out afterwards was not an aggressive offer by any stretch of the imagination. And we're going to be porked. We're going to be porked with all that young talent. We're just not going to get there. It's really irritating, really frustrating, especially after what we saw last season. I don't know. But maybe I'm not the only one that should be complaining, because the Yankees have done next to nothing. I mean, maybe some addition by subtraction. Devin Williams, who was horrible for the Yankees last year. I mean, he pitched all right down the stretch, did okay in the playoffs. He's going across town to the Mets. I mean, basically the Mets have signed players from the Yankees. They've got several of them now. It's hilarious. But the Yankees haven't done much either. I think the rotation's going to be in much better shape. If Gerrit Cole comes back at close to 100%. So we'll see about that. I mean, their offseason's basically hinged on Cody Bellinger, who wants $40 million a year. It's like he wants like 6 or 7 years at like $37 million per. And the Yankees aren't the Yankees of old. You know, the Yankees were like, cut him a check. Who cares? But they're a lot more prudent. They're a lot more sophisticated, a lot more thoughtful in the contracts that they send out. So there's a lot of thought to them. And they're not just writing checks anymore. And I think that's a lot of money for Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger's a nice player. Good season last year. I don't think he's a $37 million a year player. He's not a $37 million a year player. Plus, he wants 7 years at that, which that contract's going to turn bad towards the end. I mean, you always have to be cognizant of Bellinger, who had that truly awful season a few years back. And then resurged that season with the Cubs. But, I mean, he had one of the most awful seasons this side of Chris Davis a few years back, which hurt his value, and then he sort of recovered it when he was with the Cubs. But I don't know. I think that's going to be too much money for Bellinger, but the Yankees have to do something, right? They're the Yankees. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Orioles loaded up. Pete Alonso. I really wanted Pete Alonso. I really thought we were going to get Pete Alonso. And the Baltimore Orioles, of all places, get Pete Alonso. I mean, I hope he enjoys playing in front of tens of fans every night. I don't understand why that city does not support that team. Yeah, they were terrible for so long, but, you know, they're finally on an upswing. They finally got that talent that they bottomed out for, you know, at the major league level. And they've got more coming from the minors. I mean, they got a great farm system still. And I just don't understand why that city doesn't support that team. We went a couple of years back to Camden Yards. We had four front row seats for $300. Four front row seats for $300. You could barely get into Fenway if you have $300. You're sitting deep in the bleachers. You're sitting in the Bob Uecker seats from that Miller Lite commercial from 100 years ago. You're way back there. $300 gets you nothing. But in Baltimore, you're like a king. You're like, you have $300 and four people. You're like a king at Camden Yards. I just don't understand. And that's just a beautiful area, a beautiful facility. I mean, a lot of fun. I just don't know why that city does not support that team. And even if they are really good, I mean, even that, they had that playoff run a couple of years back. They were one of those teams in baseball, and nobody cared. Nobody cared in Baltimore until the playoffs. Then people started showing up. I don't know. The Tampa Bay Rays, who knows what they're doing every year? I don't know what they're doing. Who knows what they're doing? And then every year, they're still solid. Last year withstanding. But they're still usually solid. So, I don't know. And the Toronto Blue Jays, I mean, not only did they win the division, which we never expected they would win, we kept waiting for them to fall back to the Red Sox or the Yankees. It just didn't happen. We thought they were going to choke in the playoffs. Didn't happen. We thought they were going to choke in the World Series. Didn't happen. That was one of the greatest World Series that I can remember. All the way to Game 7 into extra innings against the juggernaut Dodgers. And they've only gotten better. They've only gotten better this offseason. So I don't know how you can compete in the AL East, a division you didn't win last year, with a worse team when everybody around you has gotten better. And Alex Bregman, if you had signed Alex Bregman, that would have brought us back to where we were last year, which was a team that barely got into the playoffs and won the first game against the Yankees. Whoopity-doo. But we're going to get a whole year of Roman Anthony and a whole year of Marcelo Meyer. Are we going to get a whole year of Meyer? Are we going to get a whole year? Nobody's ever gotten a whole year out of him. He's been an injury concern, a very talented ball player, love him to death. But he spends a lot of time in the training room. He gets paid money to play baseball, to not play as much baseball. I mean, he's not Anthony Davis bad. That guy's made of glass. I've never seen somebody get paid so much money to play basketball that actually does not play basketball games than Anthony Davis. And there's a few others. Looking at you, Ben Simmons. But back to baseball. I don't think Meyer could make it through a year. It'd be great if he could. Rafael's bat's too hot and cold. Who knows with Roman Anthony, you know, people hit that sophomore slump. I mean, every year we go into the seasons with, you know, if Roman hits the ball well and hits 40 homers and Marcelo makes it through the season and Rafaela's bat gets a little better and Jaron Duran returns to form if he's still here and Abreu doesn't get hurt and Contreras, I like Contreras, but he's not a given. He's not a given. Sonny Gray's 60 years old. I mean, I like it. He's a consistent guy. He actually plays in baseball games. Very durable. But he's still entering his age 35 season. I mean, you know what you're going to get out of Garrett Crochet because you get that out of Garrett Crochet. But if he gets hurt, man, we're screwed. If anything happens to Garrett Crochet, we're screwed. Brian Baio, he had good flashes last year. His goods was really good, but his bad was really bad. And it's sort of almost from start to start would kind of go from there. And then you got your Garrett Whitlocks, your Peyton Tolles, your Connelly Earlys, where they could flash. They could be fantastic. Or they could be second-year players, where it doesn't all come together right away. It's very worrisome, and it's very irritating every year to walk into the season with, they could be really good if all of these things happen. But if none of these things happen, we could be really bad. We could be really bad. It's not exciting. And I don't know if there's one guy outside of Crochet that I would point to and say, that guy's a given. That guy's an absolute given. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what he's expected to give you. I mean, Rafael is going to give you good defense. That's a given. But how's he going to be at the plate? How are any of these guys going to be at the plate? And the pitching, I mean, we saw it during the playoffs. That if the pitching isn't there, you're dead in the postseason. I mean, the Dodgers, they've got pitching for days. And they had to go extra innings against the Blue Jays to win the World Series. The Blue Jays, who brought up this kid, Yasavage. Nobody ever heard of this dude before the playoffs. Like, who is this guy? I watch baseball a lot. I pay attention to baseball. I don't know who this Yasavage dude is. What is going on? And he was like the best pitcher of the playoffs outside of Yamamoto. He was tremendous. And now he's going to be a starter next year. And yeah, there's question marks. You got the nobody's ever seen this dude before, so he pitched well in the playoffs. There's really no tape on him. Now there's tape on him. Is he a given in 2026? I don't think so. But I like him more than I like our young guys. And it's not that I hate our young guys. I just like Yasavage more. Cam, I'm not going to go into the last name, Schlittler. You got to enunciate there, especially on modes of communication that are managed by the FCC. He was good in that first start against the Red Sox. I mean, he had a good second half of the season and was really good in that playoff game against the Red Sox. How does he do? But they're not relying on him as much because they've got a pretty decent rotation, I think. The Yankees do have a good rotation, particularly, you know, if their injuries come back. We shall see. We shall see. Pitchers and catchers in 30 days, baby. If that doesn't warm you up, I don't know what will. But, yeah, I'm not as excited for the Red Sox as I could have been. But there's still time. There's still time. Which is another thing that aggravates me about baseball. You know, in football, basketball for the most part, hockey, everyone just sort of signs within the first week of free agency. Baseball takes forever. Takes forever. You still got Bo Bichette out there. You still got Kyle Tucker out there. Cody Bellinger's out there. The season ended in October. Bregman just signed. Last year, Bregman signed in the middle of spring training. I like the idea of a deadline on signing of players just so we're not doing this. And then once, because Rob Manfred, who really takes a lot of crap as the commissioner of baseball, I think he's one of the best commissioners we've had. He might be the best commissioner in sports right now. The pitch clock is brilliant. The runner on second is brilliant. And all the old heads are like, oh, that's not the baseball I grew up with. Nobody watched the baseball you grew up with. Nobody was watching it anymore. Nobody was watching. Even I stopped watching because the 7 o'clock game's going to go to 11:30 because we're going to watch this pitcher walk around the mound, spit, play with his cup, mess his hat around, and the games took forever. I saw a video now before the pitch clock was done where they ran the entire Kentucky Derby in the time it took a major league pitcher to throw two pitches. He threw a pitch. They ran the Kentucky Derby. He threw another pitch. The pitch clock's awesome. I want to be in and out in 2.5 hours, particularly when it's 1 of 162. We don't have all night for 1 of 162. And that's why I like the runner at second, too. We don't want to kill pitching for a game in April, which may not mean anything. So, yeah, I mean, I love what Manfred has done. He's talking about an insert season tournament. That can't happen. Just leave it alone. Everything's fine the way it is. Everything's fine the way it is. Just move this free agency thing along. That's what we need to do. Move this free agency thing along. And I like the ABS thing they're going to be doing this year. If you're not familiar, it's like replay, but it takes like 10 seconds. If a hitter or a pitcher doesn't like the strike or a ball call, they just tap their head. And then the computer will pop up and say, it's a strike or a ball. And you only get so many of those. The whole thing takes 30 seconds. I'm excited about that as well. I don't think Manfred gets enough credit. Who do you think the best commissioner in sports is right now? I think it's Manfred. What do you think? It's Gary Bettman. Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's in the process of killing football, I think. You know, I just think there's too much football going on. They took over December. That made the NBA mad. By the way, if you get a minute, folks... why don't you Google when next year's Super Bowl is? Super Bowl 2027. Why don't you take a gander on what day of the calendar that game falls on? Take a gander at that, because the NFL is going to lead to a doubling of divorce rates single-handedly when the Super Bowl 2027, and nobody knows this yet because you haven't looked that far ahead, the Super Bowl next year on Valentine's Day. A lot of business decisions are going to be made, folks. A lot of business. Guys, start now. Start with the favors and everything. Get going now because you got a year. I'm preparing you now. The Super Bowl next year is on Valentine's Day. Prepare now, folks. Be ready to go. Because it's going to be a bad time next year. It's going to be a bad time next year with the Super Bowl falling on Valentine's Day. I think that's the NFL's just saying this is their I'm Keith Hernandez moment. They're just doing whatever. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We sort of had to throw that together real fast. And I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, with a guest. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive here at 89.7 WTBR. We'll talk to you soon.